The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, 2018 looks to be a very busy news year. So what are we going to be likely to be talking about this year? So I'm joined in studio to discuss this by Hugh O'Connell, political correspondent with the Sunday Business Post, and Christina Finn, political reporter at thejournal.ie. So lots of things on the horizon. Christina, let's start with you. Give me one, the Pope's visit.
Yeah, it's one that I suppose people might sort of forget about because there is quite a lot coming down the line. But I think that's quite a notable one. People will, you know, cast their memories back, maybe if they can remember that far, to John Paul II's visit there in the Phoenix Park. So I think it's going to be interesting to see the sort of interest that it's going to spark with the public, whether there's going to be the same amount of interest or attendance at his mass. I know that there is talk already happening within the Department of an Taoiseach and the Vatican on how they're going to organise it, and talk of Phoenix Park again being the site where he might have his final mass. But I think definitely it's going to be interesting to see how the public respond to it.
And like a hugely different country, you would think.
Exactly,
and
a completely different Pope as well when you're looking at some of the things that he's coming out with. And obviously coming over here and meeting the new Taoiseach, who's obviously, you know, modern and progressive, and how I suppose that's going to either conflict or how it's going to progress. I think it's in August that's going to happen to coincide with the meeting of the families conference. So, yeah, definitely one to watch, I definitely think.
Hugh, what do you think? Do you think this is kind of something that people, like, how much is this going to cost? And is it something that people will get behind? Or do you think it's kind of something that in this Ireland that we live in, people, you know, may not support?
Well, I think Dermot Martin has said that it's going to cost around 20 million euros. So, and I think he said that the church will try and raise as much of that as possible. But there's obviously going to be a huge cost in terms of security and guard and traffic and crowd management and all that. So there'll be a cost to the exchequer, for undoubtedly. In terms of people's enthusiasm for it, it's kind of hard to
gauge.
It's hard to say, really, isn't it? You know, there was even more enthusiasm than we might have imagined for the Queen visiting in 2011, for example. So, you know, and there was a worry about there being some hostility there, and there wasn't when the Queen came. Pope's a bit different, obviously. I mean, it is a very different country from what it was in 1979. But I do think that, you know, a lot of people have praised Pope Francis for being more progressive than some of his predecessors, and for certainly for his focus on the poor in particular. And I think Archbishop Martin has said that the Pope has expressed a desire to visit with some homeless people or visit some homeless shelters and stuff like that. So I think those kind of events and those kind of things will generate a lot of interest. And I mean, I think the media, you know, ourselves will be very interested in it. You know, there'll be a lot of coverage of it. So I think it'll be hard for people to avoid in many respects. But in terms of the sort of turnout he might get at Phoenix Park, I think it'll be a lot less than a million.
That was there, yeah, you know? Absolutely. Christina, let's move on to the abortion referendum. This is something that we were obviously talking about a lot in the run-up to Christmas before people got their Christmas break. I suppose remind us a little bit about what we're going to see happen next week in terms of the government and them making a decision on their formal response, I suppose, to what we saw come out of the abortion committee.
Yeah, well, we saw it just before Christmas with the report, and all the committee meetings were coming to an end. And next week, I think the cabinet will be meeting to formally decide perhaps their position following those committee meetings. And there's been a lot of questions over the Christmas period from the media to Fianna Fáil to the Taoiseach about laying out exactly their position and what it's going to be. They said they would use the Christmas period to reflect and read the recommendations and where they're going to stand. And I think all eyes will really be on the Taoiseach, as well as a lot of the other parties as well, on where they're going to stand on this issue. I think most people will say that it's time, you know, it's much needed that this referendum is going to happen, but as well the debate, there's a lot of calls that they don't want it to be as toxic as people might expect it to be, which is exactly what it is going to be. And there's been a lot of call for respect and, you know, listening to each other's views, and I really hope that is the case, but I would fear that it might not be.
I mean, I think one of the problems with that whole call for, you know, for it to be respectful to debate and it shouldn't be so negative, and you know, that the media needs to be, there's a lot of criticism of the media in this and about how they cover it as well, but like fundamentally For pro-life people, this is a life and death issue. For pro-choice people, this is a life and death issue. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, the life and death of a woman, the life and death of the unborn child. So in those kind of instances where you have these both extremes on either side, obviously there's a middle ground, which is probably where the majority of the country is, that sort of, you know, doesn't feel particularly strongly either way. But when you have these extremes on both sides, it makes it difficult to have a campaign that isn't marked by, I think, what's going to be a lot of tension, a lot of aggressiveness, a lot of, you know, just a lot of bad stuff.
We saw that in the committee as well, you know, of the TDs and their position. And as well, the tight time frame, I know the Taoiseach has said, you know, the summertime seems to be the time that we're going to have this referendum. But, you know, there's a tight time frame in terms of them coming up with legislation, having debate voted on, and then also the referendum commission wants to make sure that they have sufficient time, I think 12 to 16 weeks they want
to... There was talk over Christmas that it would have to be pushed back. We had heard about, you know, May time. Are they still aiming towards May?
I think it is still May, but, you know,
that is
it all depends on how quick they can... And they don't want to be seen as well to rush the situation, because that is obviously going to come in for criticism from all sides and saying,
it's interesting because, like, we don't know why May or June has been picked as the time to do it by the Taoiseach. I mean, he's the one who put out this time frame for it. I've no idea why he decided to do that, but clearly he felt that you know, he probably felt that this was an issue that needed to be dealt with and hadn't been dealt with for 30 odd years. So you know, that's why. But it was he who put down this very strict deadline in terms of May or June. So, you know, the success or failure of this will be judged somewhat by, you know, whether the government meets that deadline or not. And what sort of a campaign it mounts, if
any.
Exactly,
and the Pope's visit obviously is due for August.
That's probably the reason why it's then.
You know, when you're
going to
have
with the Pope.
The Pope coming over with all these posters and discussions, it's going to be quite a, you know,
they want
landscape.
It outdone before that. Let's move on. New Sinn Féin president, this is something that's going to happen pretty quickly, isn't it? But there's only one name in the race for this, yeah?
Well, yeah. Look, I'd be shocked if Mary Lou McDonald isn't the next president of Sinn Féin after a special Ordesh, which I think is due to take place at the end of February. So Gerry Adams is stepping down, and Mary Lou McDonald is so far the only candidate. There are no other candidates have emerged as yet, and I don't think there will be. So effectively, Sinn Féin will want to ensure a smooth transition.
Yeah,
here.
So 34 years he's been there, so it is going to be important to have a kind of smooth transition to somebody new.
So then the debate's going to be, well, how much will it change Sinn Féin? How much will Sinn Féin change? How more likely is it that people will vote for Sinn Féin because Gerry Adams, the kind of, you know, the bogeyman in many people's eyes, has been is no longer there. Various polling done on this. We did some in our own Red Sea Sunday Business Post poll before Christmas, and I think it was up to 40% of people would be more likely to consider voting Sinn Féin if Mary Lou McDonald was leader. There was a poll in the Irish Mail, Daily Mail, this week that said, I think, about 20%. So it's, you know, but there's definitely more people are likely to vote for, consider voting for Sinn Féin if there's a change of leader. You know, how different will Mary Lou be from Gerry Adams is open to question. To what extent will Gerry Adams still have influence? There is an argument to say that Gerry Adams will be, you know, the president or the de facto president of Sinn Féin until he dies. But, you know, Mary Lou McDonald will have to, in some way, I suppose, try and distance herself from Adams if she wants to create the maximum amount of possibilities in terms of gaining more votes. But you see even Eoin O'Brien in our paper at the weekend writing that the new leader will have to stay true to the vision of Adams. So, you know, as much as Sinn Féin will want to change, they'll also want to stay a little bit the same as well. So,
what do you think, Christine? Yeah, do you think people, the electorate, will find Sinn Féin more palatable with Mary Lou at the helm?
I think they will, but she also has to obviously contend with members of the North. So she is in a bit of a sticky situation where, you know, Gerry Adams is much loved up there, and she's coming up as a Dublin woman and has to...
Not as loved, exactly.
But she, you know, she probably will appeal more so to, say, the middle-class mother with children. You know, she'll appeal to them, and perhaps a person that might never have considered voting for Sinn Féin, she might actually sway their vote. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But in terms of, I suppose, if there's a next general election and with her at the helm, questions over whether they've pretty much changed their standpoint, that they're very interested now in going into government, that they're that they will have their interest in having talks, but all the main parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, are still adamant that it doesn't matter who is leading Sinn Féin, that even with Mary Lou McDonald at the helm, they will not get into bed with them in the next general election. You know, when push comes to shove and we see those numbers, all that it could change.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing as well is that in as much as the debate amongst people like Christine and myself who work in politics and within the political bubble will be about how much has Sinn Féin changed, look, the imagery, it will be very stark. It'll be the old 60-odd, nearly 70 now, Gerry Adams stepping down to make May for the younger, telegenic Mary Lou McDonald, the female leader of Sinn Féin. That's going to have an impact on people who don't care about politics, and there are an awful lot of them in this country, you know, who are very kind of not that fussed about politics, at least. And so I think that's going to be an advantage for Sinn Féin, for sure, you know.
Will we have an election this year? We were here in this studio, Christina, talking about it just before.
Exactly, and you know, things can change very fast in politics, but at the moment, I can't see one in 2018. Now, the reason I would say that is because they've managed to weather, I suppose, the storm that was just before Christmas, where we were pretty much on the brink. But then again, you know, as I think Albert Reynolds said, that, you know, it can be the little things that can trip up these parties. You know, they tend to be issues that come out of nowhere. While I think Finian McGrath and Fianna Fáil have been out over Christmas to say, look, they need to see significant progress on housing. Will that bring down the government? I don't know. Like, you know, there was talk about the Noreen O'Sullivan issue. That possibly should have been when Fianna Fáil should have pulled the plug on it if they wanted to, and they didn't. What next scandal could come about that could bring it about?
Unless you've a crystal ball, you just never know.
If you look at the justice crises, there's been one roughly every 6 months, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years. So if we get another, we had one just before Christmas. So if we get another one within 6 months, I think, I don't know how Fianna Fáil could withstand another crisis without pulling down the government. But it could be a little thing.
You know? Finally and briefly, Hugh, Leo is going to visit Trump for St. Patrick's Day. How is that going to go? Do you imagine?
I mean, if you look at how Enda Kenny dealt with it last March, he was had a very subtle dig at him in terms of his stance on immigration when he talked about St. Patrick and the history there of Irish people coming to the United States. So there was a very subtle but forceful and strong and something that was recognised internationally as a dig at Trump and his immigration policy. Leo Varadkar is renowned for being very direct. So whether that translates to how he operates with Trump when he goes over to Washington in March will be interesting to see. But certainly it's going to be fascinating. Like Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, has previously spoken in favour of gay conversion therapy. So you can see that there's a huge difference there between the two people, between the man representing Ireland and the administration representing the United States.
Our media is going to seriously be looking at this, but as well, the US to have this, the US media to have Leo Varadkar go over there. It's quite a stark contrast in terms of what they're used to dealing with at the moment.
What socks will he wear?
Oh God, I'm sure they're probably picked out already or gifted as well. They probably have ones wrapped.
Wise just to stick with the, you know, the black Calvin Klein socks or something like that. You know, the Marks and Spencer socks.
Is he a Calvin Klein man, Hugh? We'll take that as an exclusive here on The Last Word this evening. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Hugh O'Connell and Christine Finn, political reporter at thejournal.ie. Hugh, political correspondent with the Sunday Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.